today, and I want to read for you a portion from the Old Testament and a portion from the New Testament. So take your copy of God's Holy Word and turn now to the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 2, verses 5 through 12. Exodus chapter 2, verses 5 through 12. The message this morning is entitled, Why Moses Chose Reproaches Over Riches. This is a corresponding Old Testament reading for the message that will come from the New Testament. This is what God says in Exodus chapter 2, starting at verse 5. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, This is one of the Hebrews' children. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, Go. So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, Because I drew him out of the water. Now it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Turn now to the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, three verses. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24, 25, and 26. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would now open this portion of the Word of God to our minds and hearts, that we may understand it and apply it. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. How do you measure the quality of a person's life? Sometimes you might say it's because of the decisions or the choices that they make in their life that determines the quality of that person's life. And people will say, well, it all depends upon the circumstances. Some people are just lucky. They have things happen to them in their life and their circumstances. And I didn't have that particular choice or decision. But we all have choices and we all have decisions in our life. It's not a matter of our circumstances, but rather the choices that we make that determine how our life is to be measured, the quality of our life. When we end our life and we look back upon it, it will be dependent upon the choices that we make. But yet, we can acknowledge it is hard to make right choices in life, isn't it? In Proverbs 14:12, we read, There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. You see, when we choose according to our own way of thinking, we oftentimes choose the wrong way, the way that leads to death. Satan and the world around us is pressing upon us to make choices and to make decisions in a way that seems pleasant, and saying, the way of God is hard. It's not attractive. You don't want to do that. You don't want to follow God. That's too difficult. But Moses made right choices. And we're going to look this morning at the choices that Moses made and the reason why Moses is in the Hebrews 11 Hall of Fame. the Faith Hall of Fame. He made right choices. So let's look now at Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 26 under two headings. First, Moses' three choices, and secondly, the reason behind his three choices. First, then, let's look at Moses' three choices. And it falls out very easily from the text before us. Verse 24, 25, and 26 give us each one of the three choices that Moses made. In verse 24, we read, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So here is the first choice that Moses made. He chose to refuse royal privilege and greatness. He made this decision when he had grown up, when he had reached an age where he could make this decision and choice. You see, Moses was born as from a Hebrew slave, and he was adopted into the royal family, and he had all of the privileges associated with that royal family. Jochebed nursed him, and the child grew. And at age 2 or 3, maybe as much as 5 years old, because in those days the weaning process took longer, but just a few years of age, he went to live with a heathen woman in Pharaoh's palace, in amongst pagan culture and religion. But even so, he got the greatest education that anyone could have at that point in time on earth. He was in this wonderful place where he could learn about culture, about hieroglyphics, about language. He learned about the Code of Hammurabi. This was the most advanced nation upon earth, and he had the privilege of being in that palace with the Pharaoh. This was not some youthful folly then when he left the palace. He had grown up. He was 40 years old. He was mature. He was at a point in his life where he made a deliberate decision that he would leave all of this, all of the majesty and the wealth and the splendor and all the riches the world could provide for a person. He was willing to leave it, to refuse this royal privilege, the privilege of growing up in this environment and having the opportunity of being around wealth and around power and prestige. But he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He made a choice. He could be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, or be called the friend of God. What would you do? Which choice would you make? Would you rather be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter or a friend of God? He could have been first amongst the people like Joseph, but he refused this rank. He refused greatness, and he decided that he would deny this privilege. He would refuse it. He would denounce it. He would disown it. Whose son is he now? He was adopted into Pharaoh's palace to be that son. Was he an Egyptian prince or a Hebrew slave? You see, Satan and the world, looking at this story, would say, he gave up everything for nothing. What does God say? God said he gave up nothing for everything. You see, it's a matter of perspective. Do we look from below towards, from the earth towards these decisions, or do we look above and how God sees it? We see then the first choice that Moses made in verse 24 was to refuse royal privilege and greatness. But secondly, we see in verse 25 the second choice that Moses made. He chose to endure ill treatment. Let's look at verse 25. Choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. He refused the riches. Everything that you could possibly imagine in the world of that day he had available to him. He refused it all. He refused great comfort. He refused security. Isn't that the goal of most people, especially in our culture? in our age of materialism and affluence, everyone wants to become financially independent and be comfortable and to have things. These are the very things that Moses was willing to refuse that he might become the friend of God. He also refused what Scripture says is the passing pleasures of sin. The passing pleasures of sin. What does that mean? It's a bit difficult to understand what Scripture means here. But for him, for Moses, it would be sin to disown his own people in order to enjoy the earthly pleasures, the earthly grandeur, the temporary and fading things of this earth. For him, it would be sin. He had a clear choice. He could refuse his own people and suffer the sin of apostasy, or he could go and be with the people of God. His choice, on the one hand, was the rich Egyptians, but they were not the people of God. On the other hand, he could choose those who were enslaved, crushed, beaten, and despised, but they were the people of God. And he made that choice. Moses believed that he was on a mission as a human deliverer of his people. We read this in Acts chapter 7 and verse 25. And he, that is Moses, supposed that his brothers understood that God was granting them deliverance through him, but they did not understand. They didn't understand that he was coming as a deliverer. He believed he was on a mission. He left these riches and he left the people of Pharaoh for the people of God. He chose ill treatment, suffering, and affliction. He endured with great self-sacrifice, self-denial, and he was more humble than any man of his day, any man on the earth. Humility is what God seeks in us, not pride. He doesn't want us puffed and lifted up and having many things. He seeks a humble people. You know, the Greeks, in their culture, in their philosophy, they said what was important was to know yourself. Now, you might have heard that in some common philosophy around you. Know yourself. And our culture goes a little bit further. They say, not only know yourself, but love yourself. You can't love anyone else until you first love yourself. We hear that kind of thing, this pop psychology. They say that the problem is you don't have enough self-esteem. You're not lifting yourself up enough. The problem is not poor self-esteem in our culture today. The problem is the opposite. The problem is excessive self-esteem. It's not that we are to know ourselves or to love ourselves, but rather, according to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to deny ourselves. And Moses is that example of denying the great privileges that he had in order to follow the people of God. You see, Moses is what we call a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He symbolizes what Christ would do. Like Jesus Christ, Moses chose poverty, pain, suffering, affliction, oppression, disease, distress, and anxiety. He had everything, as it were, and he left it all. He came down from on high, from a wealthy position, to the lowest position, that position of a slave. What Moses did, our Lord Jesus Christ did even more. He came from an even more exalted position than Moses was, and he went to an even lower position than Moses lowered himself to. We read in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, "Have this attitude or mind in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to grasp, but rather emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Do you see the parallel then between Moses and leaving everything, all of the riches and splendor and glory, to a humble and low position, pointing forward to Jesus Christ, who did that and more? Christ left the glorious position that he had. He emptied himself of his heavenly glory. He emptied himself of that. He did not esteem the riches that he had as something important, but he became humble and poor for our sake to redeem and deliver a people for himself. So Moses pointed forward to Jesus Christ as that humble servant. He made his first choice to refuse royal privilege and greatness. He made his second choice in verse 25 to endure ill treatment before the people of God, much like our Lord Jesus Christ. But thirdly, he made a third choice in verse 26. He chose to value the reproach of Christ. He chose to value the reproach of Christ. And there's the title of the message, that Moses chose reproaches over riches. Let's look at verse 26. Considering the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. So you say, now wait a minute. The reproach of Christ? Didn't Moses live before Christ? How could he have the reproach of Christ? How do we interpret this? As I've already mentioned, Moses himself is a type pointing forward to Jesus Christ. A type is a shadow or a symbol of a future reality. And in the Bible, these types oftentimes pointed forward to Christ. When we have Scripture telling us that he chose the reproach of Christ, he chose a reproach like that of Christ. In the Greek, the word is to Christo, of Christ. He chose a reproach like that of Christ. We read in Hebrews chapter 13 about this. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Hence, let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. There's the word, bearing Christ's reproach. So he pointed forward to Christ, and he bore the reproach that Christ would later bear for us. He also refused the treasures of Egypt because he was looking to the reward. He was looking to the reward. Now, what was that reward? He wasn't looking to salvation, per se. We're saved by grace, not by works. He was rather looking to that heavenly reward, that eternal reward. Jesus Christ, in the Sermon on the Mount, said that your reward in heaven is great. He was looking to that heavenly reward. So Moses made then three choices. He refused royal privilege and greatness. Secondly, he chose to endure ill treatment before the people of God. And thirdly, he chose to value and esteem the reproach of Christ greater than all the riches of the world. So you might ask yourself, why? Why? Why did Moses do this? What is the reason behind his three choices? That is my second point. Faith is the reason behind his three choices. Faith is the reason. Look at verse 24, the first two words, by faith. This is the reason Moses could make the three choices. By faith. Moses is now inducted into the Hebrews Faith Hall of Fame. Why do I call Hebrews 11 that? You read the words by faith 19 times in this single chapter. Here are some of the by faith sentences in this chapter. By faith, we understand the words. The worlds were prepared by the word of God. By faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice. By faith, Enoch prepared an ark. By faith, Abraham lived as an alien in the land of promise. By faith, Sarah conceived at an old age. By faith, Joseph gave orders to carry his bones out of Egypt. By faith, Moses was hidden for 3 months by his parents. And finally, by faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Not only do we read these words by faith in Hebrews chapter 11, we read the word Moses in the book of Hebrews 11 times. Moses is a prominent character in this book of Hebrews. He was the champion of the Jewish people. there was no Old Testament character that was ranked higher in the mind of the Jews than Moses himself, because God had given, through Moses, the law for the nation of Israel. The theocratic nation was established. And they looked up to him. They admired him. The way that we as Christians oftentimes look up to and admire Abraham as the father of faith, they looked up to and admired Moses as their champion. You see, the Jewish Christians to whom the author of Hebrews was writing, they wanted to go back into Judaism. They were converted from Judaism to Christianity, but they wanted to go back into some elements of Judaism because it had Moses. They wanted to leave Christ and go back to Moses. But the author of Hebrews is saying something that they need to hear. Moses is a paragon of faith, not a legalistic law keeper in the way that they thought. You see, God's way is by faith. By faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, not by law keeping. You see, the author of the book of Hebrews is saying to these Jewish Christians and to us today that you must cling to Moses and Christ or lose both. They wanted Moses and depart from Christ. But the author says, if you do that, you lose not only Christ, but you lose Moses also. Moses pointed forward to Christ. Moses is the type that was fulfilled in Christ. So we see that faith is the reason that Moses is in Hebrews chapter 11. Faith is also the reason for Moses' three choices. What is faith? If you were asked that question and a non-Christian came to you and said, what is faith? How would you answer? You can turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 and read, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And then in verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe, firstly, that he is, and secondly, that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. You see that two parts of faith? We must believe that he is. We must believe that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Moses, what did he do? He believed in God. He was willing to leave everything to go be with the people of God. He believed that God is all-powerful, all-sovereign, all-knowing. He believed that God would take care of him. He also believed that our God is a rewarder of those who seek him. He was seeking after the heavenly reward that was greater than all the treasures of Egypt. So you ask yourself about this choice that he made. Looking back now, we've moved on in history many years since that time period. And you might say to yourself, if people back then were analyzing his choice, was it a good choice or not? Leaving Egypt and all the riches and pomp and glory for this people of God who were enslaved. We look today, we don't even know the name of this Pharaoh. We don't know the name of the daughter. The city is unknown to us. The treasures are gone. But the name of Moses is known throughout all of the world. Moses is known as the human author of the first five books of the Bible that we call the Pentateuch. This is what God said about Moses. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. What a great privilege Moses had to be able to speak to God face to face. In Numbers chapter 12, verse 6, if there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, shall make myself known to him in a vision. I shall speak with him in a dream, but not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my household. With him I speak mouth to mouth, even openly, and not in dark sayings. So you see the result of his choice. As we look forward now into our time period, you can see that he made the right choice, and he was rewarded for it. So faith, then, is also the reason for the choices that you make in life, that you and I make in life. Faith is the reason for making choices. All of us have to make a choice now and again. Every day we have to think about whether we're going to do one thing or another thing. And how do we make these decisions or choices in life? Are we going to be like Moses and choose rightly? Or are we going to be like the people of the world who go after the pleasures of this world and not even think about things eternal? We have these choices. Where to live? What friends we are to have? What college should we go to? Should we marry person A or person B? Who should we spend time with? How should we spend our time? How should we spend our money and our talents and our treasures? Every day we have these decisions and choices to make. You see, the power to make right choices comes from faith. But it's not a blind faith. It's not a faith in ourselves. It's not faith in Mother Nature. It's not faith in the world around us. It's not faith in the government taking care of us. It's not faith in our employer. It's not faith in our family. It's faith in God, but specifically faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the power to make right choices. When we're connected to Him by faith, you see, it's not how much we know. It's not how passionate we are about our decisions. It's not how hard we work towards achieving a goal. All of these things are important, but by themselves, they don't help us to make the right decisions. We must have faith. We must have a faith that works, a faith that leads to action. You see, this faith is a free gift. It's for all of us. It comes to us. God gives it to the people who are called Christians. It's a free gift, but so is the air around us. We breathe the air. It's for us today. It's a free gift, but we must take it in. We must breathe it in. We have bread given to us. God gives us the food. We're about to eat after this worship service. He's given us many good things to eat and drink. The bread is set before us, but we have to take it in and eat it, don't we? And the same with water. When we want to be refreshed, we drink a nice glass of water. We take it in. And it's the same with faith. It's a gift of God that must be exercised. It must be taken in. It must bear good fruit. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is not a feeling. It rather comes by believing in the promises of God and then taking action upon them. You see, Moses was the most humble man on earth. He made right choices. And God does great things through people who are humble and come to Him in prayer, seek Him, and by faith take action. God will do great things in your life if you are a humble person seeking Him by faith to follow Him and make right choices in life. You see, your walk with God will go no further than the faith that you have in Him. Faith is like the foundation of a building. It's the foundation of our Christian life. It's the foundation of all Christian virtues. What is prayer? Prayer is simply faith talking to God. What is Christian diligence? It's just faith at work, isn't it? What is Christian holiness? It's faith on the inside made visible on the outside. I was listening to a preacher on the way up here. He was talking about Jonathan Edwards. And Edwards said that the greatest part of happiness is peace. I never thought about that, but I think that's true. When we're at peace, we're generally a happy people. How do we become peaceful? What is the foundation of peace itself? It's having faith in our eternal God, that He's taking care of us, He's providing for us, and that our sins are forgiven, that we have an eternal home. Our life is taken care of. We have peace with God. We're no longer enemies, and He takes care of us. This is really the essence, then, of peace and of happiness. It all starts with this foundation of faith, and the whole building of the Christian life grows from it. So then how do we have a faith like Moses had, a faith that produces right choices? Well, first, we must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And not only that, believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. It's more than just believing in Christ. It's believing that He will reward you. Like the apostles, we can cry out to God, Lord God, increase within me my faith that I might believe more to follow You and make right choices in life. And then we have to act on our faith. So faith is very simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Like the apostles, cry out, increase my faith, and then act upon it. So finally, this morning, as we reflect upon these three verses from Hebrews chapter 11, I want to ask you a few simple questions. And that is, first, is the reproach of following Jesus Christ greater riches to you than all the treasures of this world? It's kind of a diagnostic test or quiz for a Christian. Do you esteem the reproaches of Christ greater than anything this world can offer? Do you believe also that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him? If you can answer those two questions, yes, that's me, then you have the faith that Moses had, a faith like Moses, and you have chosen reproaches over riches. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for this portion of Your word, and we pray Your blessing upon the remainder of this service. We pray also that You would help us to live what we've heard. In Christ's name, amen.